Thank you all for coming out here. Make sure you're in a place where you can see, where you can hear. We've got some good stuff for you. Make sure you give these kids your ears and your minds and your hearts. A lot of them are kind of scared. A lot of them are nervous to talk to you. Make them know there's no reason to be nervous. All right?
You got this.
Coming to you first is the editor and publisher of the Lake News here in Calvert City. It is Lloyd Ford.
First, I want to welcome every one of you to Calvert City. In my opinion, the greatest little town on earth. And Kentucky Lake. We're so proud of it. I understand that we're here today to move a mountain. And I want to tell you, I've named that mountain. The mountain's name is fear. The mountain's name is fear. And there's something I want you to know about fear. Fear is the parent of hatred. Fear is the parent of hatred. Hatred is the parent of evil. I'm standing before you here today. I may be a radical leftist, I don't know. But I want to tell you, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Hear, hear.
And I'm Presbyterian. And I can guarantee you pretty much there's only a couple more Presbyterians here. But I wanted to make this known to you because it's important to me. And I want to let you know how you move a mountain. A mountain that's named Spirit. You have to do it with your two hands. One hand is called truth. And you have to accept the truth even when the truth is not what you really want to hear. When it's not what you really want to hear. And that goes for all of us. The other hand that you're going to use to move the mountain is called trust. Trust. If you don't have truth, you will never have trust. Now, I don't know what the way forward is for each of us, but I know one thing, it's not going to be easy. And I may not live long enough to get there with you. I want you to know that too, because the road and the load you're going to carry is going to be heavy, and the road is going to be long.
Yes.
And when Jesus told his apostles the truth about what they were facing, they couldn't hardly hear it. They couldn't get their ears open, because he told them the way forward is not going to be easy. The way forward is not going to be easy. But I'm going to be there with you. I want you to know something else about me. I hunted rabbits right here where y'all are standing when I was a kid. That was my granddaddy's house across the street. I caught brim down here in the cross drain. It goes across the road down there. And I'd take mud and put on my hands and put on the ceiling. And when I came here, I had walked 2.5-3 miles from my house. And my parents never had a concern for it. Folks, we've lost something, and we've got to get it back. We've got to get it back. Would you let your child walk 2.5 miles from somewhere else to right here today? I wouldn't either. I didn't. We've got to get it back. When I was a kid, we knew everybody And every dog, we knew every person in the families, or dogs, or cats, everything. But they didn't change. But that doesn't mean we can't live in a place where you don't have to strap on a firearm to go to the grocery store. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've got two little grandchildren. I love them more than life itself. One of them's five, and the other's a little over one. And if I drive them to school one day, and I drive into the school parking lot, and there's eight county deputies there with guns on, and a police station there beside of the building, Papaw's going to put his foot on the brake, and he's going to turn that car around, and he's going to go somewhere else to take those kids to school. Because that's not where my kids are going to go to school. We got to fix this, and it's got to be done so it's fixed right. Fixed with a human heart. The human heart. Now, I'd like to say something else, and then I'm going to get down, and I'm going to go out here and stand in these tears with you guys. Because that's not right. You're standing in tears from heaven. You're standing in tears. But I want to thank this little girl over here that played for us. I hope she'll play again. Somebody called her name was Late Summer. Well, she can whoop the fire out of a guitar, so I think she's Summer all over is what I think. And I don't want to give you a downer. I want to lift you up because, like I said, the road is long. There's going to be some unhappy places you're going to go to. There's going to be some unhappy people you're going to meet. Sometimes you're going to be surprised who those unhappy people are. So I want you prepared. I want you to put on truth and trust and start moving that mountain. One little rock at a time. One little rock at a time. Change one part at a time. Make where we live a better place. And now I'm going to get down and be out there with y'all. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for waiting. That young lady's name is Late July, and she's going to play another song for us.
I'm going to be selfish for a second. I want you, if you've got a sign, hold it up. Because there's a lot of people who aren't here right now. And they need to see what's going on. Thank you. Oh, I'll get plenty of pictures of that. All right. Just so I know, and because we're stalling for a few more minutes, I know there's not people here all from one place. So if you are from Marshall County, raise your hands and make some noise. If you're from Callaway County, McCracken County, Trigg County, louder than all of you, Fulton County, Graves County, outside of Kentucky. Woo! Outside of Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, or Illinois. Woo! Where are you from?
New Hampshire.
Is anybody from further than New Hampshire?
She won.
All right. Are you ready, sir? Okay. I've heard all these speeches. I've had my heart tug on all these speeches. I've had my blood boiling from all these speeches. You get to listen to them, and you need to listen to them. And what I told them last night, they don't just take what they're feeling right now, get all of it out of their system today, and then do nothing. They go vote. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're not registered to vote and you're old enough, because you should be registered to vote if you're old enough. But if you're not registered, do it before you leave. Corbin Brandon, will you please come to the microphone?
First, I would like to start off by doing a few things. I would like to start off with a moment of silence for all teens who have suffered from gun violence in some way. Now, because we are doing one of the most American things that we possibly could do, which is protesting, I want to do something else that is very American, and that is the Pledge of Allegiance.
Here, here.
If you all direct your attention to the flag, please, and put your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As I was formulating my speech throughout this week, I really couldn't think of where to start, so I'm going to start with my story. I go to Marshall County, and I was at the high school that morning. As I got to school, you know, I just did something normal. Actually, I broke open one of my piggy banks from when I was 3 to get enough change to get a cup of coffee that morning, because I was tired. And I got there, and I got in line to get my coffee, and I realized I was next to line with someone that I'd gone to school with, and we didn't agree politically or morally in some aspects. And we kind of got into a little bit of a religious scuffle. And, you know, I tried to talk to her for a minute, and then, you know, she called God basically a sky daddy, and I mean, this is Bible books. So I just moved to the back of the line. And as I got to the front of the line, I was talking to the lady, and, you know, she said that it was very good that I was active in my church, and I told her, you know, it was good and invited her. She said she had a home church, and I walked out into the commons right after that. And as I walked out into the commons, I walked out by Starbank. And that girl called me back in to make one last little comment that I really didn't care to hear at the time. But I went back because I'm a little bit sarcastic and fiery, so I thought I might start an argument. So I went back in there, and about the time that she finished her comment, the shot started. And it was USA Day. So the first one I thought was, you know, party popper or something. And I turned around, and now, and after the fact, I count my blessings that girl called me back. Because if she would not have called me back, I would not be here. And it's sad that it took something like this happening in this community for us to start meeting like this. But I'm glad that we finally are making a change. And if the mountain that we are talking about is fear, we are all excavators taking one rock that we can take down the entire mountain. Something else that I wanted to touch on is after we had the shooting, I actually kind of started to look into how hard it was to get a gun, and I was met by a short, sweet little form. Now, I looked at this form and printed it out of curiosity. It was about 6 pages long. Only 2 of the pages had writing, so I decided to have a little bit of fun. I timed myself, and I filled out this form to get a gun if I was old enough. As I filled out this form, I realized it took a surprisingly short amount of time. After I got done with that form, I looked at all the checks and boxes and started to realize that it kind of resembled a nurse's pass that we had at school. So I grabbed a handful of nurse's pass out of the teacher's box and did the same exact thing. By the time I got done with 2.5 nurse's passes, which, I mean, they're about a day long, take about 1.5 minutes, not too long to fill out, I was done. It was the same exact amount of time that it would have taken me to fill out the form to get a gun. And all I would have had to do was wait a few months, if even that, if I even had to wait for the gun. And what is wrong with this picture is there was one form for every gun. Handguns, assault rifles, shotguns, every gun was under this one form. Now, to some of you, that may look normal. But are all guns the same? Really ask yourself that question.
No.
We have to do something about this. It cannot be as easy as filling out a form. And in some states, you don't even have to do that. You don't even have to fill out the form to buy a gun. In Colorado and California, you don't. You can get that gun without having to have proof of sale. And that's where we're getting situations where people are selling ARs out of the back of their car at Walmart. You know, we can't have that. We need to start intensifying our vetting procedure. We need to break the guns up into classes. And that's something that's going to take a while. But that's something that we have to do. And we have to start making it harder to get guns, certain types of guns, you know. If you guys do hear something that resonates without you throughout the day, we do encourage you to get loud. And as the NRA has said countless times in their campaign ads, I will be able to vote in 2020, and they always seem to do their one, I'm coming for you, little thing. Well, guess what, NRA and those that do not take action, we are coming for you. And now we're going to turn it over to Michaela Watkins and Lexi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. So I'm Michaela, and this is Lexi, and we're here today to call on Congress and our senators and our representatives to make a change within our laws, to enact gun laws that will save tons of lives, because too many have died from gun violence. And we are here to speak to you because our government and more say that mental illness is to blame. It is not. In the words of Emma Gonzalez, we call BS! Framing the conversation about gun violence in the context of mental illness does a disservice both to the victims of violence and unfairly stigmatizes the many others with mental illness. How many children have to die before our leaders realize that mental illness is not to blame?
My personal story is kind of an example of the contrast to the stories of the shooters that we've been told that
that all of this has been caused by mental illness. I suffer from both depression and anxiety. It gets really bad sometimes, and this is caused by severe bullying in middle school. When I was only 13, when we reached the 100th day of school, we were given an assignment to write down 100 things. It could have been, you know, our favorite movie, favorite foods, favorite songs. One of my friends at the time, she decided to go a different route, and she wrote 100 people that she wanted to die. I was every single one of them. And then, throughout the rest of the year, I was told multiple times that I should just go commit suicide. And I was still 13 years old. I was in 7th grade. Throughout this, I went home and cried almost every single day because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know why my friends were telling me this. I had no clue. I didn't know what to think. But one of the things that I did not think about, I never thought about harming anyone. I didn't think about going to get one of my dad's guns.
From a very young age, I have also suffered from mental illness, depression, and anxiety. And a lot of that stemmed from my biological mother. She suffered from alcoholism and abused drugs. And I also had to watch her be abused by an ex-husband of hers. And that caused a lot of issues. I had to grow up way too early. My older brother took care of me. I was in and out of therapy. You know, I was staying with my grandmother. And then at 11 years old, I lost my mother to cancer, as well as my grandfather, whom I was very close with. And just a few short 3 years later, I lost my grandmother, who was like a second mom to me, as well as my uncle. And that caused, like, I'm still working through it today. But never once, as Lexi said, did I ever think of going and getting one of the guns that are just laying around my house, because that's the type of family I live in. I do not think to take one of those guns and go kill another human being. Our government and others say that mental illness is to blame. Well, once again, we call BS. There are mentally ill people all over the world. They do not take a gun and kill 17 kids or 2 or 20 kindergartners. Mental health issues are not an uncommon occurrence within the United States. In fact, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, 1 in 5 youth aged 13 through 18 experience a severe mental disorder at some point in their life. The more we blame mass shootings on some lunatic with a gun, the less likely we see help to the troubled youth around our country. Teenagers should be encouraged to seek help when dealing with a disorder, but seeing mental illness consistently associated with mass shootings has the opposite effect and acts as an effective deterrent to young people seeking help.
That only a small percentage of the crimes that are committed with firearms are by those that are mentally ill. Most people with serious mental illnesses are never violent, but sometimes they do act out in ways during high-risk periods, like a first episode of psychosis. And then only like 3-5% of violence, including but not limited to firearm violence, is attributable to serious mental illness. That's not that much. That's not as much as everyone is claiming. It's really not. And those that are mentally ill are far more likely to be the victims. They're not the people that cause it. So what can we do?
Make it clear that gun violence and mental illness are not inherently connected. A shooter may suffer from mental illness, but a person suffering from an illness is not automatically a shooter.
Because that doesn't need to be seen as weak. It doesn't need to be seen as something that's a horrible thing, because that's what is needed.
Many young people suffering from mental disorders do not know the first step to get help, so help them.
We've come together today to rally for the hundreds we've lost, for We're here for the ones who can't be here anymore. We're here because our government decides that it's never the time to talk about this. Because they decided that after the mass shooting at Ailey in Texas, at Ailey High School, and less than 24 hours later, Marshall County. We're here because they blame everything with the actual problem, which is the reason that they take money from the organizations that are choosing guns over their kids.
We are the generation that is here to show the NRA that we are not afraid. When my brothers and sisters across the country are dying and our leaders are doing nothing. They choose to send thoughts and prayers, but that's not enough. Thoughts and prayers are nice, but we want policy change because enough is enough. We want policy change, and we are coming for Mitch McConnell.
Give you some adult speakers. We've got Alonzo Pennington coming to talk to you right now.
All right. Thank you so much. It's been a real honor to be asked to speak today and be here among you. I'm not here as a candidate for the 1st District United Congress, United States Congress. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because I'm a father. I'm a father with kids in school. I'm a father that believes in our public education system. And I'm a father that is scared to send his kids there. 20 years ago, the same thing happened in our own backyard. And somehow we managed to sweep it under the rug and forget about it. But I'll be damned if we're going to forget about January the 23rd. And I'm proud that each and every one of you are here standing out in the rain. You know, I know when the other side looked and they saw the weather today and saw it was going to be nasty, they thought, oh, it's going to kill their rally. We got news for you. We'll stand in the rain. We'll stand in the snow. We will stand in the damn tornado if we have to. Because there's nothing, nothing in this world more important than our future. And our future is our children. If we don't take care of our kids, and we don't provide them with an adequate place to learn and to grow, then how are we supposed to expect to have a future? I'm not scared. And because you're here, you're not scared either. And there is strength in numbers, people. We must go out together, and we stand shoulder to shoulder. We demand change. We demand that they look at the old laws. And they make things that are suitable today. I believe that we have a living constitution. And I believe it changes and adapts. And with that being said, I believe in the Second Amendment. For the first three words of the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia. Well-regulated. They want to forget that part. Because that's the part that has the most meaning. Yeah, you can have your guns. But you know what? We need to know who has them. We need to know that what we're letting people have is not going to go out and mass murder people. We don't need bump stocks. We don't need high-capacity magazines. And just because Just because I can drive a car doesn't mean I'm qualified to go down the road in a semi-truck or a school bus full of children. So why shouldn't we be capable of something that can take as many lives? Why shouldn't we be trained before we're allowed to buy in? And I'm not speaking as ignorant on guns. I make my living with guns. I'm a hunting guy. I hunt 6 months out of the year, and I take people quail and pheasant hunting. First thing I do is give them a safety instruction course before we go out. And then after that, we go out and we have a good time and we enjoy what they were meant for. So I'm not anti-gun, but I am for change. I am for change and making sure that our children are safe. We're not backing down. We're not giving up. And we keep doing this. We may have to stand in the rain today. We may have to stand in the rain tomorrow. But we will be here. And we will stand in the rain. And we will stand and do what we have to do to make sure we get what we deserve. And that is proper gun laws and a safe place for our children to learn. And for those that don't know, the time is now. The time is now that we're at. The time is to be on social media. The time is to be out there and to be out with your signs. I encourage you to go out and stand on the street corners with your signs and say, we want change. Our kids don't feel safe.
Do it!
That's right, do it! Because we're not waiting. We're not going to sit around. We're not going to take it anymore. It's time, people. I love my kids more than anything in the entire world. And it scares me, just as it does you, and just as it scares our kids to go to school. And this group is testament that we're ready for change. There's no place that loves guns more than the Midwest. And I know there's hunters and there's gun collectors and enthusiasts in the crowd with us today. And we appreciate you being here and understanding that this isn't about anything more than saving lives. I'm touched deeply to hear these kids talk and hear their stories. Their lives have been changed forever because of that day. They didn't ask for that. They didn't deserve that. But we're the ones that are old enough right now to get the change in motion. And by gosh, in a few years, they're going to be the ones that are old enough to make sure that change is taken care of. I would personally like to extend a challenge to each and every one of you to find somebody out there that isn't registered to vote, and you get them out to vote. And you tell them, you speak from your heart, and you tell them exactly what you're concerned about. That you're concerned about your kids, and you love your kids. And that these people in Washington, they love their money. Corporate greed has run this country for too long. We are no longer going to let our lobbyists make our laws for us. We are no longer going to stand by and let gun sales overrun human lives. Truly an honor to be asked to speak to you. And I call you friends. And I was nervous before I came up to speak because, for one, I don't want to get emotional because this is something very serious. It's dear to my heart. But I'm here and I don't feel nervous. I'm surrounded by friends. And we're all joining together. And this is what America is about. So I beg you, get out, ask your friends to vote. If they're not registered to vote, get them to the polls. Get them out there, get them online. You can register on your phone, your computer. You don't even have to go to the courthouse anymore. Get them to vote. You can register right here. If you're not registered to vote, right here. But that's not just today, that's every day. Because you have an option. You have people that care about our kids. And you have people that care about what's going on, about the people and about each other. And it's time that we put those people in office, the people that will actually serve the people.
Yes.
Not the people that are out to serve money and greed. So the challenge is set. I challenge each one of you to find at least one person a month and get them to register to vote. One person a month. And it can be done. And together, we're going to change it. And we're going to move that mountain. So you with me? Are you ready to move this mountain? Thank you so much for letting me speak to you today. Thank you.
All right. When we were planning this, we didn't know number-wise whether we were going to get 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people. We had somebody say 2,000 people. And I thought,
no.
But what I heard from the kids last night, it doesn't matter if one person shows up. As long as something we say affects one person, that's the only thing that matters. But like what we already talked about, like what I told them last night, what I already said to you, coming up, showing up, standing in the rain, listening, that's wonderful. If you go home, you don't do a thing with what you heard here today, that's criminal.
Right on.
Vote, act, listen to some music from late July.
Thank you.
student speaker, Mary Cox.
Hello, my name is Mary Cox. I'm a senior at Marshall County High School, and I captain the speech and debate team there. On January 23rd, tragedy struck our hometown in Marshall County, Kentucky. At the time, I said I would be patient in making this a political matter. But now, as the weeks pass by in front of me, and I watch 17 people get killed inside a Florida high school, I feel like it's time for us to speak up. There is no gun worth the lives of the 20 individuals we have lost in the past few months. Our lawmakers have a duty to protect us, and they are failing. We are the future of this country, and we are being killed by gun violence weekly. People keep telling me that guns don't kill people. All right, maybe guns don't kill people, but complacency does. An unwillingness to pass firmer gun laws and protect my fellow classmates does kill people. I shouldn't have to be lucky that fewer people died on my high school campus than at the campus in Florida. Why is nobody asking themselves why kids are dying at schools in the first place? I watch kids jump every single time a book is dropped now. But it's alright because people just really need to own AK-47s, right? This is not an issue of fundamental politics. It's an issue of fundamental safety. It's an issue of human survival. I will not stand idly by and watch more kids die in gunfire on their way to math class. I will not stand idly by and pretend that this is an unthinkable tragedy we never could have prevented. In 1996, Australia had a mass shooting that killed 35 people. They took action almost immediately and passed stricter gun laws. There has not been a mass shooting in Australia since. 1996 was 22 years ago. Meanwhile, in the United States, 1791 called, and they want their gun laws back. When me, the girl voted by her class, most likely to be a politician, is doing more than actual politicians, we have an issue. Most of my friends cannot legally purchase and consume alcohol yet, but they can legally purchase an AK-47 anywhere in the country right now. The issue is not responsible citizens who own guns. The issue is how accessible it is for irresponsible citizens to get their hands on them. No more students should have to die because of government indifference. How much is a student's life worth? How much does the NRA have to promise our elected officials to ensure that they keep arming murderers? You can walk around every day with thoughts and prayers in your heart, but until it directly affects you, you will never understand the frustration that is knowing our country could have done more to prevent my comments area from turning into a grave site. Children died at Columbine. Children died at Sandy Hook. Children died at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. Children died in the comments area of Marshall County High School. How many kids have to die before it matters? How many people listening to this speech can be the future victims of gun violence? I am in a tragic and unique position to be able to speak on this firsthand, but my position is quickly becoming less unique. This club is too exclusive. We need to make it as exclusive as possible. We must do everything we can to make sure that more people aren't joining this club we are in. When we pass stricter gun laws, when we take progressive actions, we can start seeing these tragedies for what they are. But until then, we must promise to do everything we can to prevent this. Until then, we must fight to ensure that the lives of these nation's children are safe. When we pass these gun laws, then we can say there's nothing more we could have done. But until then, there is something we can do. We're a first world country caught in gunfire. No more. With that, I would like to introduce to you Lily Dunn.
Freshman at Marshall County High School. On January 23rd, 2018, my life changed forever. My sister and I were running late to school. We were in the parking lot outside the freshman wing at 7:56 a.m., 1 minute before the shooting began. Within the next 2 minutes, I saw students, friends, family, fleeing for their lives with looks of pure terror on their faces. I knew what was happening immediately, even though I wasn't in the building. People jumped in my mom's car, begging us to get them to safety. I frantically called and texted my friends, looking for some kind of I'm okay, I'm safe. I will forever be grateful that I was late to school that day. My friends, family, and community will never be the same. I will never be able to walk into a school without feeling anxious. I will never be able to be in a large crowd without panicking. I jump at loud noises, and the sounds of police sirens scare me. It took me quite a while to find my voice, but now that I have it, I will not stay silent. No parent should be scared to drop their children off at school. As a student, I shouldn't have to constantly think, what if I had been 2 minutes earlier that day? What if today is my last? School used to be my second home, but until we get changed, I will never feel safe there again. I want to say that I'm not here to push my political beliefs on you. When I say I want change, I don't mean I'm trying to take away your rights. I don't mean I want to get rid of guns. I'm here to bring awareness to a subject that affects everyone and has become more and more prominent in our schools. Why does it take a tragedy for our schools to input proper safety procedures? Marshall County has had countless threats over the years, but once the risk of danger had passed, we did nothing. Everything went back to normal, and that should not have happened. There was no bag checks, no metal detector wands, until people had to die, until my friends had to be terrified for their own lives. According to WPSC, our community has raised over $600,000 for metal detectors, X-ray machines. So why has none of that been put in our schools? The only thing our school has done to keep us safe is bag checks and metal detector wands. But that's not helping. That is not enough. I'm tired of seeing more and more tragedies happen across the country. Children shouldn't have to fear for their lives to get an education. There have been 18 school shootings in 2018 alone, and it's only March. How many people have to die before our government will listen to us? We are hurting, and no one seems to care. Thoughts and prayers aren't enough anymore. Yeah, they're comforting at first, but they didn't save thousands of people who have died in gun violence or school shootings, and the children who died going to kindergarten or going to their classes in the morning or trying to get a decent education so that they can become something in their future. 20 children going to school have died this year alone. That's 20 students that will never get to graduate high school, get married, have their dream job, and have a family of their own one day. Their parents will never get to watch them grow and learn and graduate and be successful. 20 kids will never live up to their full potentials because their lives were cut short by senseless acts of violence. Since our government won't do anything to put a stop to shootings, my generation has to speak up. Have a voice. I will be 18 in 2020, and you bet I'll be voting. I'll be registering to vote so that I can make a difference. I'm tired of being silenced by politicians and adults who think that because I'm just a teenager, that means I'm too young to have a voice. I'm too young to think for myself. If I'm old enough to get shot, I'm old enough to say what I want. We will not be silenced until we see change. I have found my voice, and I will not give it up until our community sees change. David Bowie once said, "And these children that you spit on as they try to change the world are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through." I heard this at a rally in Frankfurt, and it has stuck with me ever since. And I hope it has made an impact on you as much as it has made on me. My community will never be the same. We lost Paley and Preston, two bright young minds who who will never get to go to college. Bailey will never get to be a doctor like she wanted to be. Preston will never get to play baseball again. They will never get to see their friends, and that is not okay. Our government needs to stand up because children are dying every week and they aren't doing anything that protects us. Thank you. Our next speaker is Seth Adams.
Before January 23rd, when I would arrive at school in the morning, what I would do is I would start running the day over in my head. I would start thinking, for example, in my third block algebra 2 class, I would think about a test I was about to take. Or I would think about my percussion ensemble class that I had to find my music for. On January 23rd, that changed for me. At 7:57 a.m., I was in the cafeteria eating breakfast with my friends, and shots rang out from the commons. Nowadays, when I arrive at school, I'm still running the day over in my head. I still have a list of all my classes going. Instead of thinking about schoolwork, instead of thinking about music charts, I'm thinking about where to run, where to take cover.
Not fair.
No!
Though I may never feel safe again, I can say what is and what isn't safe for our schools. What we need is more school resource officers. We need mental health resources for people who are thinking about harming themselves or harming others. For firearm owners, we need trigger locks and ammo storage. So if somebody has made up their mind, they can't easily obtain a firearm like our shooter did. What we don't need?
Noah.
Untrained, unprepared teachers with guns. We don't need armed civilians roaming the halls. None of these solutions are based in concrete fact or reason. They're based in decisions made in haste by money-hungry legislators hundreds of miles away. We believe in the Second Amendment right to bear arms. But we also believe in the human right to live. The kids, the survivors, demand that our legislators create fact-based solutions to keep our schools safe. Thank you.
Okay. All right, you have shown a great deal of love. You need to show more than you've shown so far to this young lady, because she's nervous. Haley Kay.
My name is Haley Case, and I was in the Commons on the morning of January 3rd at 7:57 when the shooting at Marshall County High School occurred. The only thing about that day that I can remember in perfect clarity is after I got out of school. I was looking around for a familiar face. I was frozen, and all I saw was panic. Kids running in every direction, jumping in cars with strangers that they didn't even know just to get away from a place that was once safe. I hated seeing my school like that, running in fear when only moments ago we stood so strong and proud. Two people died that day, and our world changed forever. 20 people. It has been 3 months since the beginning of 2018, and we have already lost 20 people due to senseless gun violence. These are 20 people who will never get to go home. They'll never get to see their loved ones again. Some of them are never going to get married or have children, and some of them are never going to see their children again. They're never going to get to laugh or cry or anything ever again. They're never going to get to live their lives, and I can't understand how someone can take that away from them, how someone can wake up one day and decide to do something like this. I will never understand that, and I will never understand how our leaders haven't done a thing to stop it. Do you need to hear their names again? To realize that they weren't just names, they were people. People who deserve to be remembered and shouldn't have died like that. Bailey was 15. Preston was 15. Alyssa was 14. Scott was 35. Martin was 14. Nicholas was 17. Aaron was 37. Jamie was 14. Chris was 49. Luke was 15. Kara was 14. Gina was 14. Joaquin was 17. Elena was 14. Jalen was 16. Meadow was 18. Helena was 17. Alex was 14. Carmen was 16. Peter was 15. Do you know how many school shootings there have been since the beginning of this year? 18! There have been 18 within the first 3 months, and I don't see our leaders doing anything to stop it. School shootings were basically taboo to talk about before the students of Parkland decided to stand up. We look to our government. We look to our government, to the adults of this nation, to keep us safe. We trust them to save our lives because that's what they promised to do. We trust them to always put us above everything else because that's what they said they'd do. But they didn't. They failed to protect us because they were too scared of losing funding or votes or whatever they decided to do. We look to them to protect us, but we are tired of dying, of being slaughtered in our classrooms because of someone with a gun. We are tired of becoming statistics, of people telling us how lucky we are to be alive, and how tired they are of hearing about these tragedies, but how they have done nothing to stop it. Now, the children that they failed to protect, the next generation, are standing up to protect themselves, and we are not scared of losing votes or of people telling us we are wrong. No, the only thing we have left to fear is dying, and staying the silent has done nothing to keep us alive.
Is Lila Freed.
As I stand here today, I see all different people. I see different people from different counties, from different states. I see people who work their back, break their backs to sustain their families. I see teachers, I see reporters. But no matter what facet of life you come from, we are all one. No matter your race, religion, sexual orientation, your wealth, or your gender, we are all human beings. And sometimes I think we forget that. Every morning, I wonder what school is going to be next. Just on Tuesday, there was a shooting in Great Mills High School in Maryland. One died. When students across the country wake up, they shouldn't have to plan their escape routes from their classrooms or worry about every little sound they hear. I shouldn't have to be scared to death of a place that's supposed to be the safest. We as students, we as American citizens, shouldn't have to suffer in the constant state of fear that most of us live in. That's why today we need gun safety. We need safe storage of our firearms. Bailey and Preston both should have grown up for families, to have children, to their own lives, but instead of seeing that, they saw a barrel of a gun as their last memory. They didn't deserve that, and neither did the kids at Parkland, Sandy Hook, Heath, Columbine, Aztec, at any of these schools. The shooting at my high school could have been stopped if the owner of the weapon just would have stored it properly. Two precious lives could have been saved. You don't have to have a $500 gun safe in strong hands. So please, take the steps to ensure your safety, your children's safety, and everyone else's safety. Even when you take all these steps to prevent your guns from getting in the wrong hands, what about the people that don't take them? That's why we have a government, to keep us safe from things like these. Unfortunately, I'm here today because our politicians up in the Capitol, Washington and Frankfurt, do nothing to combat this issue. They sit there and they ignore it, but they do ridiculous excuses to mask the real issue. In times like these, we need to be careful with what we do. Rash decisions are not the best. Even though the policies they suggest might make you feel safe, it doesn't make you actually safe. That's why we need fact-based legislation. Woo! We don't need bills made for someone's ego. We don't need bills made for a need for their campaign. We need ones that are backed by statistics, facts, and most importantly, the people. That's why we should not force our teachers to carry guns.
Change.
shooting and the Marjory Stoneman Douglas shooting, I didn't speak out. And I can't help but ask myself, if I would have been as brave and as selfless as they were, would this have even happened to them? No time is too soon and no demonstration is too much to save a student's life. So show peace, spread love, and use your voice. Yell and scream for change until you see it. I said it and I'll say it again. Am I old enough to be shot at but not old enough to speak out? People will try to silence you over and over again, but it's only because they believe in us. I know this because if they didn't believe we were capable of moving mountains, they wouldn't be so concerned with making us stop. Yeah. Use that to your advantage. Allow it to empower you and direct that anger into making a change. Each of you are here because you want to see a change. Well, I'm telling you, don't wait to see a change. Be the change that you want to see. Thank you all for showing up today, and don't give up. And next, I would like to welcome to the microphone Representative Will Corsi.
Well, it's good to be with you this afternoon, and I tell you what, I've always considered myself pretty good on the stump, but I'm feeling rather inadequate today. Tough acts to follow.
Right on.
Are you proud of these kids or what? If you're a parent of one of these youngsters up here, raise your hand. Let me know how proud you are. I know you are. God bless you. We've been congratulating on raising some fine young men and women. And I appreciate them. You know, they came up and visited me on the Capitol steps the other day while we were in session. And I had the chance to come out and address the body. Drew Williams was there. Good to see you, Drew. There were, gosh, I don't know, well over 1,000 kids there, I suspect. And after I spoke to the group, I went back in. And later in the afternoon, I had several emails and a couple of telephone calls from some, just misled individuals. Be very honest, if you were to put their brains in a bird, it would probably fly backwards. A couple of them told me that they were ashamed of me, that I had gone out and promoted such an event where I was encouraging these youngsters to skip class, you know, so they could just play hooky and come up and do nothing. And I said, let me tell you something, fella. These youngsters were shot at. These youngsters were critically injured. These youngsters were killed. They had every right in the world to come to their state capital. And this foul state proceeded to tell me that I wouldn't be getting their vote in November. And I said, looky here, fella, let me tell you what. I wouldn't have your vote if you served it on a silver platter. I wouldn't hang it on the backside of that Christmas tree. Oh, well. Many of you know that, and I know this is a nonpartisan event, but many of you know I'm a Democrat. That's just how I'm ready. And the fact of the matter is that I'm very much in the minority. We've got a Republican governor, we've got a Republican Senate, and we've got a Republican majority in the Kentucky House of Representatives.
November's coming.
Absolutely. I met after January the 23rd, I began meeting with educators and teachers and law enforcement agencies and parents. Psychologists, my fellow lawmakers in the Kentucky General Assembly, both in the House and the Senate chambers. As most of you know, when we're confronted with tragedies like this, the Democratic line in Washington or Frankfurt is typically gun control or common sense gun measures. The Republican line has always been it's not a gun control issue, it's a mental health issue. And I tell you, we do need a multi-pronged approach. It's all of the above. It really is. It's mental health. It's guns. It is terrorism. It is an act of terrorism. And so, being the realist that I am, Lloyd, I knew that even though I had filed measures to ban bump stocks, that I had filed legislation and co-sponsored legislation to ban the sale of expanded capacity magazines, these drums that hold 100 rounds, that hold 50 rounds. It is insane. It is insane. I mean, who in the name of common sense needs 100 rounds to go out in the field to shoot a deer or a quail? They say, well, what about personal protection? What about home defense? My friend, are you expecting an invasion from Tennessee or Indiana? But these bills went nowhere. They were assigned to their respective committees, and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee sat on them because the leadership said, no, you're not going to hear anything that's going to ruffle feathers for the National Rifle Association. But let me tell you, I've always coveted my endorsement with the NRA. I did. I worked hard in years past to get that endorsement. So that when I got that endorsement, they would send these little orange cards out to my constituents to tell them that I was a sportsman. Wayne LaPierre sent me an email the other day asking if I was going to renew my membership of the National Rifle Association, and I responded that I would not be. Enough is enough. I want you to continue to put on your orange and blue armor. I want you to continue to lobby members of the General Assembly. Let me tell you, we do have a bill that I have introduced that has made its way through the committee process and onto the floor of the House of Representatives. It passed with bipartisan support, with one nay vote, one wayward soul. I don't know what her excuse was. That's right. That legislation would put mental and behavioral health specialists in every school in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. My friends, our guidance counselors are spread far too thin. You know, years ago when I was in school, guidance counselors would actually tend to those that were having difficulties at home. Yeah. Michaela, you know, you mentioned and you guys spoke so eloquently about your difficulties at home. I had some of the same. They're called ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences. That could be the death of a parent or a loved one. My father committed suicide. It could be alcohol or substance abuse. We had that at home. It could be impoverished conditions. It could be a number of things. And it said that if a child has three or more of those ACEs, that it can limit their life as much as 20 years. These kids do not leave these ACEs at home. They take them to school with them, my friends. They take them to school with them. So we have got to have mental health professionals, not just guidance counselors, because they're bogged down with test scores. They're bogged down with college and career preparation and readiness. We need mental health professionals that can come into our schools and identify these youngsters that are having a difficult time, because it's proven that these ACEs not only inhibit that child's ability to study, And to do well in school, it also inhibits their ability to function and to develop as a normal human being. We've got to do this. It's passed in the House of Representatives. It's hung up in the Senate. The Republicans over there want to say it's a mental health issue. I gave them a mental health bill that will work. House Bill 604. Call your senator. Tell them to hear the bill. They say that they'll come back. Oh, we don't need to rush to you know, a knee-jerk reaction. We don't need to do anything in this session. We can wait in the interim and study it. We need to study it some more. Put together a task force. My God, I've never seen so many task forces. That's always our answer. A Blue Ribbon Commission or a task force. We need action. We had a school safety expert nationally recognized that came to the Capitol at the invitation of our education chairman, and he gave a presentation, and he said to the group of legislators that were in attendance that those schools, be it Columbine or Sandy Hook or wherever, those state legislatures that failed to act in the immediate wake of that tragedy, they never came back. They never came back to address or to respond to that tragedy. Politicians are very reactionary. We know that. I hate to say this because it is crude, but my friends, you have to strike while the iron is hot. If we do not do something, and I told the governor of Kentucky, Governor Matt Bevin, in the mansion, in the basement of the governor's mansion, his idea was to arm teachers. No. I tell him the same thing. Our teachers want to teach. He said to me, he said, as I explained, House Bill 604, our mental behavioral health bill that would put hundreds and hundreds of mental health specialists all across this commonwealth. He said, I don't agree with that. I think your facts are a little bit skewed. I said, Governor, it's not like I just sat under a sycamore tree on my farm in Ellicott, Kentucky, and concocted this thing. This bill was put together by Ivy League psychologists and law enforcement professionals from all over the country. Layla mentioned compassion, and I appreciate that. You know, sometimes I often wonder what the history books will say about us.
That's right.
What the history books will say. Will they say that we were a kind and gentle people? Or even further out, 100 or 200 or 1,000 years from now, this old world is still spinning. What will the anthropologists say that dig up our civilization? Will they say that we were a kind, a gentle, and compassionate people? Margaret Mead, a world-famous anthropologist, she was once asked by a group of reporters what it was in her findings and her unearthings that led her to believe if an ancient civilization was truly civilized. They were expecting her to say maybe a spear or a weapon of some sort, maybe a musical instrument, an article of clothing. Her response surprised them. You know what she said it was that led her to believe that an ancient civilization was truly civilized? It was a healed thigh bone. A healed thigh bone. A healed broken leg. And if you think about it, it's not that difficult. Because if 1,000 years ago in the law of the land was survival of the fittest, if you broke an arm or a leg, you were in a world of hurt. You couldn't hunt. You couldn't gather. You couldn't protect yourself or your family from the elements of the wild. Someone else had to do that for you. Someone else had to do your fishing for you, Lloyd. Someone else had to do your hunting for you. Someone else had to see you back to health. Someone else had to help mend that broken leg. You see, my friends, Dr. Meek discovered that the thing that separates the primitive from the civilized is compassion, Layla. It's compassion. And I'm so proud. So proud that we have some of the most compassionate people in the Commonwealth or anywhere in this country right here in Calvert City today. I say thank you. God bless you. Continue to put on that orange and blue armor and demand from your policymakers a response. Demand action. Thank you. God bless you.
Still good? Is anybody bored?
No!
Good deal. All right, coming up to the mic next is Cam King.
Hi, everybody. My name is Cameron King. I'm a 17-year-old senior at Marshall County High School. You know, I'm 17, so that means I can't vote. I can't buy tobacco, cigarettes, or alcohol. I can't sign up for the military or even own a credit card. That's probably a good thing, though. However, as a 17-year-old senior and an American citizen, I'm old enough to be shot at. On January 23rd, 2018, my life changed forever because a child was granted access to a deadly weapon, taking two lives, injuring 18, and permanently damaging thousands. The truth is, regardless if we were shot or not, we were all victims that day. My community is now full of victims in one way or another of gun violence, but more importantly than that, my community is now full of voices. The most powerful gift that you have been given is your voice. No matter your race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, or most importantly, your age, you have a weapon more poignant and powerful than a gun. You have the capability to bring about profound change by opening your mouth and speaking out for what you believe in. So today, I urge you to speak out on behalf of those who no longer have their voices. Speak out for Bailey, for Preston, for all the kids at Parkland, Heath, Columbine, Sandy Hook, and Azteca. Speak out for those who have suffered, cried, and grieved because of the epidemic of gun violence in America. Use your voice to be the change you wish to see in the world. Won't be easy. We live in a country who has turned their face from the issue of gun violence, writing it off as another psychopath with a gun. And although they're appreciated, we know that thoughts and prayers can only do so much. And it's time to rise up and make a change. Letting your voices be called that will bring about change. This road will be long and hard, but we can't give up. You know, the fear that accompanies the majority of American children as they walk into school is unacceptable. Is this the reality we want for our nation?
No!
You know, a few days ago, someone asked me, when will you stop? And I replied, only when we see change or when the next generation of fighters emerges to take our place.
Yes.
I will not stop fighting for the right for my life until I know my country stands to protect me. As Americans, but more importantly, as people, we have the right to live and live and prosper. We cannot stand to have that right taken from us any longer. We must stand as one nation under God, proudly saying no more and never again. Today, I beg of you, regardless of your political party,
your religion, your race, your age, or anything else that may have hindered you from speaking out. Lend your voice to this movement. We are students. We are victims. We are change. But most importantly, we are people who deserve to live a life without fear of dying at any moment. People, please speak out on behalf of those who can't any longer. Be the voice of this movement and don't stop fighting until you see the change you wish to see.
We won't.
All right, now I'd like to introduce you to Chloe.
Shooting occurred on January 23rd, 2018 at 7:57 in the morning. What I thought was going to be a normal day quickly turned into a nightmare for me and many other people in Marshall County. We lost two lives that day, Preston Cope and Bailey Hope, both at the age of 15. As a high school student, I'm supposed to be focused on my grades, my friends, my family, most importantly, my future. I am supposed to be happy, and I am most definitely supposed to feel safe. The sad truth is, I don't know how to do any of this anymore. Be honest with me, do any of you?
No.
No.
This is not only happening in schools. Gun violence can happen anywhere and at any time, thanks to our government. What will it take for change in America? What is everyone so afraid of? Students have been dying constantly because Congress will not pass stricter gun laws. We live in a country that loves guns more than they do their own children. That's why we need change in our society. We need to stop accepting it and forgetting about it. We need to stop accepting it now as kids. If our leaders never do anything, when we finally get old enough, we will take the action to further safety. To further the safety in our country. Our generation can fix this. It's time to flip the script on the fact gun violence has become normal. It's time the government hears our voices. It's time for us to stand up and before more students die. It's time to stop blaming people with mental illness. What time is it?
It's time for change.
What time is it?
It's time for change.
All I can ask is for everyone to try to get involved. Go out and protest. Let your voice be heard. Keep up with information about our state and our country. Keep up with local politics. Make a difference.
I'm a troublemaker from way back, and this just makes me feel good. Coming to your microphone right now is a name you may not recognize, but you very well should. We're going to hear from Dr. Sterling Herring from Vanderbilt.
Thank you. I'm a doctor. I work on people that get injured. I'm a researcher. I've spent the last several years in graduate programs at Johns Hopkins University in the injury center there. I've done fellowships at Harvard and overseas. I spent time at CDC and had the word gun removed from my manuscript because of a Congress that's afraid of what we might find. But 2 months ago, I stood in a trauma bay and saw firsthand the destruction caused by a school shooting. A young person, barely a teenager, whose life was forever changed by the actions of a classmate with a deadly weapon he should not have had access to. As a father, I could almost feel the terror of parents who hadn't yet heard from their children. And the devastation of those who had. I could never imagine the heartache that this community has endured. But that day, while standing over the bullet-riddled body of a teenager, an emergency room not that far from here, I came to the stark realization that the response to this unthinkable tragedy would be nothing but tweets and Facebook posts from politicians who offered their thoughts and prayers. It made me sick. You don't want your thoughts and prayers. You want real policies. You want lawmakers who aren't afraid of their donors. And we want our children to survive the school day. In the weeks since, we've seen these tragedies again and again and again. We've learned that protecting our children will mean going to war to change state and national laws. This battle is not going to be easy. It will be long, and it will be difficult. But we will win because we are fighting for our freedom, for our peace, for our wives and our husbands and our children, and for our soul as a nation. This war will be fought on three fronts. First, we will fight every day on the front lines of policymaking. We will bring the fight to the committees and floors of legislatures across the country. And we will fight tooth and nail for laws that will institute common sense, evidence-based gun laws. We will show up every day on every bill, every time. Second, we will bring this battle to the voting booths this November and the hundreds of voters here today and the millions across the country have made it clear that we will no longer stand for any politician who refuses to protect our children. We will vote you out and we will replace you with someone better. Let me be clear. Any politician who refuses to stand up for our children is complicit in their murder. Third, and most importantly, we will bring this fight everywhere we go. To our dinner tables, to our baseball practices, and our churches, and our PTA meetings, and our workplaces, and our neighbors, we will engage in respectful and kind conversation with those who see things differently. We will not demonize those who disagree with us, but we will invite them to the table. We will find and celebrate and champion our common ground, and we will use that common ground to save lives. We will not allow the NRA or anyone else to tell us that this is a political issue. It is not. This is a human issue. This is a moral issue. This is an American issue, and we will not be divided. We may disagree on some things, but we agree on most. We can agree that anyone who buys a gun should get a background check, regardless of where they bought it. We can agree that high-capacity magazines have no place in civil society. We can agree that a bump stock turns a hunting rifle into a weapon of war. And we can agree that society has a responsibility to keep our children safe in public schools. So today, across the nation, we march. We march for those who have died, innocent victims of predictable and preventable violence. We march for the parents who have lost a child and for the children who have lost a brother or a sister to shootings in a place where they should have been safe. And we march as a unified community to send a message. We will not allow this to go on. We demand change. Lawmakers. So yes, today we march, but make no mistake, this is the beginning.
Yeah. Oh yeah!
We will leave this march today with a renewed determination to enact laws that protect our children, and we will do so with a loud and unified voice. Yeah. Let us be one.
Yes.
have died and for the families they have left behind. And let us fight for all we're worth to make sure it never happens again.
We have one more speaker for you. A young lady celebrating her birthday.
Krista. Did I turn my microphone off? I turned my own microphone off. Krista. I didn't turn it off.
Try the other one.
There we go.
Krista DeBrock.
To thank each and every one of you. Assurance as sort of a mental shield for myself, because in a place where people know their neighbors, they go to church, Sunday school together, they wave to each other when they meet each other on the road. This is the place that we live in. How could this have happened a second time? How? I thought the math was wrong. But it wasn't until I started doing my own research that I realized that the math was actually right. Data from the Centers for Disease Control show that on average 96 Americans are killed by guns each day. On average, in the U.S., there are nearly 13,000 homicides per year. But for every one person that's killed with a gun, two more are injured. I think what we need to do is to decide for ourselves that this should be a moment of reckoning. For years, the gun lobby and the elected leaders it backs have pushed a guns everywhere agenda. We routinely see what that's gotten us. A devastating pattern of countless Americans shot, killed. So I wanted to just come up here and tell you thank you for joining us today. I didn't want to take a whole lot of time. If you would like to join our movement as adults to support the children here, these kids that have done every single bit of this has been done by these kids. This entire organization today. You can thank them.
We heard earlier from Alonzo Pennington's words. Now we're going to listen to some music. All right? While they are getting ready, when we're done here, are we done?
No! Never!
Are you done?
No! Never!
Good. Have you registered to vote yet?
Yeah.
If you're over 18, standing right here, are you registered to vote?
Yeah.
I didn't ask you before. It's this time to ask. Because if you're not, go over there right now. Like right now, go. Go now.
17, go!
17, not 18. I'm stupid. 17.
17!
If you're 17, go register to vote. Another big hand for all these students and all these kids. Yeah.
Go, Eric.
We're going to sing one little song for you here before we take off.
Raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on.
really, really loud for these kids one more time? More importantly, you all go vote for these kids. We still got registration over here. If you will be 18 by the general election, you can register now. Go register. Thank you.